You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. I'm your host, Mike Piccinato. Welcome to episode 40. Today, we are going to be joined again by Dr. Stephen and Jenny Jones as we continue to talk to them about cultural transitions, what it is like to pick up your family and leave one country to move to another country and learn to adjust and adapt and live there. Today's episode is all about language learning. It's a two-part series. This week and again in 2 weeks, we'll be talking to them about what it means to learn a new language, and we'll welcome Stephen and Jenny Jones to the conversation now. Well, Stephen and Jenny, welcome back. It has been a while since we've recorded together again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy how time flies by without realizing it.
I was looking the other day and it's been almost a year since we started the Unterwegs podcast.
I guess that makes sense, but that feels really
impossible. It's not no. That's not true, fairly.
Well, if you look at it, a year ago, you were in your house in Minnesota still, weren't you?
Yeah.
Verging on being out.
Right. There was a lot of stuff going on when we started recording.
End of school, moving out, getting the house ready.
Mm-hmm. Just finishing with the dissertation, too. Oh, man, that was a really busy time. Oh,
About bringing it all back.
What is it about May as we're looking ahead to a really busy next couple of weeks? I guess we just wanted you to feel all of those feels.
Yeah, I guess so.
Remembering. And right now actually doesn't feel as crazy as that time was. So, you know, it can only get better.
That's my job, to be a little ray of sunshine in your life today. As busy as it is now, it was worse then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Well, as we've been working through the Cultural Transitions Handbook, we normally pull something from a chapter and then spend some time talking about it. And that is not what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. We're taking a look at a really important part of cultural transitions, and that is language learning. And letting you talk a little bit about what the process has looked for you guys so far.
Yeah.
I would say the normal way of people learning languages, but the more I learn about different people's intercultural experiences and cultural transitions, the more I realize that there really isn't a one-size-fits-all normal to learning language. So why don't you guys talk a little bit about what your process has been so far here in Berlin?
Yeah. I mean, we knew before we came that our language learning experiences would be different from each other.
Mm-hmm. Part of the process of applying with the Alliance, we had to take a test that sort of helped you gauge like how well you learn language. And Stephen and I are in different places, which we knew before we started. He just interacts with language differently than I do. Doesn't mean I can't learn language or hear or whatever. I just learned differently.
Yeah. And that was helpful to know, because then as we were kind of trying to imagine what it would be like to learn language here, one of the things we're trying to think about is how much are we learning together versus separately? Yeah, I guess before we came, we didn't do much. We did some work with Duolingo for quite a while, but I don't...
Listening to German music, pop music.
Well, that's true, yeah. Trying to get a feel for the sound. Yeah, I had my Spotify playlists that were all German pop and occasionally Schlager music, which I didn't know what that was. So, and then we did a 5-day language camp online. This was, of course, you know, everything was still pretty locked down because of COVID. And there's a language village in northern Minnesota that we would not normally have been able to go to, but they did an online family camp and we were able to afford that. And so...
Yeah, so we thought we'd be like, well, this is how we could engage our kids in, like, what does a German flow sound like at all? Just sort of an introductory course. And I think at that time the kids were done with school.
They were, yeah. So that was 5 days in the morning, just a couple hours each day. But that was good. But that was basically it. So we got here at the end of July, and I remember not knowing how to do anything in German. I recognized a lot of words. I had some vocabulary kind of built up, but I had no ability to produce a sentence at all.
You know, things that seem super easy, like, you know, I would like, you know, a sandwich, like, or like things that your brain is like, no, this is easy. You are a capable adult.
I mean,
now say it.
I had sentences in my head, like the bear drinks the beer, because that's what Duolingo thought was important. So, but you know, yeah, walking into the local bakery and saying that doesn't get you far.
It's limited use.
Yeah. Yeah, very specific, very, yeah. Very specific.
My sentence was the dog is wet and smelly.
Oh, well.
Yeah, also not incredibly useful.
I mean, no, but that has more application than the bear drinks the beer. Yeah. So then we... it was what, maybe a month of kind of getting settled, getting our kids into school, and then we started into actual language class. It was funny, we went to an orientation before we came to Germany, and one of the things they told us is, whatever you do, don't get in a class with your spouse. And so then we followed that exactly opposite and got into a six-month contract where it was just the two of us in a class.
Yeah, with the teacher, which, yeah, I was challenged before coming also with processing through, you know, whether or not I was competitive or how I felt about success or what things like that look like. So that was a helpful framework for me in processing learning language, to really dig into, like, if Steven's doing better than me, it doesn't mean I'm doing bad. Just walking into language learning with a different framework for success was really helpful. It doesn't mean over the last however many months that there hasn't been those feelings or whatever, but to come back to that has, yeah, been helpful in the process.
I think maybe people might be helped a little bit by understanding, like, that first month when you were here, there was a ton of stuff going on.
So much.
Because you're settling a house and you're getting your kids in school and we're knocking out paperwork and there's a ton of little things that need to get taken care of, and day-to-day living is still going on.
Mm-hmm. And we came in absolutely exhausted.
Mm-hmm. I think we've talked a little bit about this before, but just gearing yourself up to go to the grocery store, which doesn't, you know, for us, there's not a lot that looks different. And it's very, very descriptive environment to be like, oh, I know what that fruit is. It's an apple. Oh, and that's what they call it, or whatever. So it was very language rich in that ways, but also you're exhausted, and trying to think clearly in those moments is challenging.
But that's what I don't know that people necessarily understand, is how much language drives every interaction that we have. Mm-hmm. From not just a random stranger speaking to you, but when you get in line at the cash register, they're going to say something to you. Even just the numbers of what your total is. I think it was months before I had any clue what they were really saying. They could have said, your groceries just cost you 3,000 euros, and I would have stuck my card in the machine. I did not understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's so challenging to listen and to recognize, oh, I mean, just, I've been struck over and over again how much language learning is really a part of learning how people of a place think. And that's part of it. It's like even numbers, because here they say the ones place is sort of in the middle. So that just how they put, I think it's the sort of thing where you're so surprised that even that is different and your ear has to learn to listen for it. It's one of those disorientations that you have to reorient to.
We have new teammates who are 3 weeks in now, and they started language school today as well. And that same, it's funny because I recognize the same itch in them that I saw in you guys, just, okay, enough settling, doggone mm-hmm. it. We have got to start learning
yeah.
how to function.
Yeah.
You get tired of feeling like an idiot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, we've been here 9 going on 10 months. And I would say that feeling is still pretty pervasive.
I think the challenge is, like, something we were experiencing this morning as we dropped our son off, as he was, you know, going on a trip with his class, was feeling like you want to talk to the people around you, and you know you have the ability to, But because language is so, like, conversation, small talk is so spontaneous, you're all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, wait, do I know how to put the right words together to, like, initiate? Like, you're like, I think I know how to initiate the conversation, but also there's just the questions in your brain that are still there.
Yeah, or the new context, right? So, like, one of the guys that works at the school was grabbing the bags, and so I went to take the bag so he could put it under the bus, and he said something that I've never heard before, and he said it twice, and it wasn't until I was walking away that I realized what he said. Basically, he was saying, I'm putting it under the bus so that we're already almost gone, which made sense, but it was just a new context. I hadn't been in that before. And then I think also with German, you know, every language has its own idiosyncrasies, but with German, even just saying really simple sentences is complicated, because you have to make all of these decisions about picking the right article and then what how you adjust the nouns and the adjectives. And like a simple sentence, like one of our son's classmates has a new dog that was there. Just trying to think through, how do I say, oh, what a sweet dog? That's a pretty simple sentence, right? I mean, last week in class, I was trying to define globalization, you know, so like that's a much more complex thing, but a little simple sentence, like what a sweet dog. I'm tripped up. Of course, I was just having my first coffee, so I'll blame it on that. But yeah, because there's little decisions that immediately out you as a non-native speaker, which of course, I mean, I'm not trying to pass as a native speaker at this point, but I like, why do I feel like such an idiot trying to compliment this dog? I don't think I ever did compliment the dog, but I did learn that there's a word that, like, when you get along well with a dog, there's a word that is used to describe that, which basically translates to our word for pack, which was interesting because the dog liked me. So
nice.
Yeah.
You're part of the pack.
I'm part of the pack. Yeah.
One of the things that I see in you guys that's, I don't know if encouraging is really the right word, but it brings back memories, is the fact that Alyssa is also very relational, very high blue on the SDI scale. And for her, the learning language time was so frustrating for the same reasons that you were expressing. Mm-hmm. I just want to have small talk and I don't know where to start. For me, it was, doggone it, I speak for a living and I can't get words out. You know, yeah. I think and I put my thoughts into words that people can understand, and I don't know those words. And so from listening to your last podcast with Justin, knowing that that's similar as well, this competency thing.
We were just talking about this last night, how differently we experience the feelings of incompetence, right? So language gives you this place to sit in your incompetence for a long time. And, for me, I feel much more competent having conversation with people than I do doing a workbook.
Give me a workbook any day of the week and I will sit down and I will work. I will do it. And you put me into a conversation and all of a sudden I'm like, I think I know what you're saying, but I can't do the thing back. So, yeah.
Super interesting. Like, I have the same kind of anxious feelings about working in a workbook that you do about having a conversation, which is interesting. Because for me, being in a conversation, like, hey, we can get there, right? Eventually, if we're both committed to this conversation, we'll probably get close to the idea. And a workbook doesn't give me that. The workbook just tells me I'm wrong.
Well, that kind of brings us almost full circle back to the, what was your language learning experience like? Because you were put into a situation right away that was very conversation heavy. Mm-hmm. So it was your sweet spot, but there probably wasn't enough workbook stuff.
No, it was an interesting, the class that we did, it was, Stephen and I with a teacher. And at the beginning it was, I mean, I struggled so much because we didn't have a book for maybe two class periods. So we were just speaking, which was great. It was good listening. But my body literally felt like, can you just write that down? I just have to see it. Like, even like spelling or trying to spell, like as I was trying to take notes for myself, I was like, well, I think this is how this word is written. Eventually, the teacher got there for me. And she started writing more stuff down on the whiteboard. But yeah, there was just this strong feeling in my body that I needed to see the words on the paper or somewhere, not just hear them. So yeah, it was definitely a very, you could just feel right away our different styles of learning, our different styles of engaging conversation.
One of the things that was really interesting in that we've now moved into a different language school, but while we were in that language school, we also were taking at the same time a second language acquisition course. And that was really helpful because our actual total seat time when we were in that class, I mean, we had essentially two 45-minute sessions twice a week. So, and the 45-minute sessions are counted as an hour. So we had 4 hours of language a week of seat time. But then the expectation was that we were getting closer to 30 hours of actual learning. And so the second language acquisition course was really helpful for us to figure out how to structure all the rest of that time. So we bought our own workbooks and we worked on our own input sources and then our own reading things. And then eventually I started doing my own writing. Once a week, I'd write a page of reflections on what had happened the previous week, and then I'd take it in and we'd spend a class period going through marking that up with the instructor, and you were doing things.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same sort of idea, working through workbooks and music stories. I found Harry Potter an audiobook in German, which is fun just as you're listening through it. It was like, oh, I know what they're talking about, even though I don't know the words, but it felt like a win because of how much I could understand. So there's, yeah, listening to audiobooks, music. We found some good TV shows that felt more like a win, both that were in German or starting to use German subtitles with shows that we were familiar with. But yeah, our second language acquisition teacher really encouraged us to seek out different sources of input. So that
and finding
really good
level appropriate input.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that we should start with, you know, reading Harry Potter in German on our own, but finding, yeah, things that were more level appropriate for us.
One of the things that was interesting in the language school we were in is because it was just the two of us with the instructor, and we had a couple of different instructors through the time, you know, you can't hide. And that, I think, was really good. When we compared our language learning experience with our colleagues, one of the things that we realized is that we were getting about as much speaking practice as they were, even though they were in class 4 days a week. And sometimes actually it seemed like we were getting more speaking practice than they were because of the format of their classes. And I think for both of us, that was really good to not be able to hide.
Because I think for me, that's something that I tend to lean on is like, well, I won't participate if I don't have to in situations that I don't feel confident in. So I definitely would have hid in the back of the class, even though I probably would have been in the front. But like, you know, trying to pull the whole, well, I'm writing something, so don't call on me, you know, using avoidance tactics. Yeah, so it was good to be in an environment where there wasn't a lot of people to feel uncomfortable. So it's like once I got used to the environment, it felt more okay to try to experiment and work through things so that I could start producing and feeling a little more confident in what I was saying.
What have been some of those moments for you guys where you felt maybe little or big wins because all of a sudden a piece of the language puzzle has fit into place?
Well, there's definitely been like once I finally felt like I understood why or when some verbs were put at the end or what time period, like, I don't know exactly when that was. I mean, it was a combination of class time and workbooks and listening and being like, oh, I finally hear it. Like, it's like you finally, and I think for me, it's when I can hear it and like understand why it is the way it is. Yeah, those have felt like you're like one step closer to like grasping how to put a structure together. Yeah, and then you have to have all of the verbs and prepositions, which there are many, to understand that. So something as simple as like getting over, for me, anxiety of like having little conversations, like we've talked about patterns that we've done of going to the bakery on Saturday or Sunday and getting breakfast stuff. I don't feel anxious about that anymore. Like the fact that it's like, oh no, it's a very predictable thing. I know what to do. I know the layout. I know, like, so it's like this combination of life practice and having the complete understanding, or what I feel like is the complete understanding. Because I've heard them talk about way more stuff than seems necessary in a bakery when you're ordering stuff. So I know there's more.
Sometimes it's like, no, you shouldn't order that many.
Yeah, like, oh, that's too sweet. Why are you doing that? But
it's so different than anything I'm used to. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't feel the anxiety of going and doing that anymore. So I'm like, oh, okay. I can do something and feel okay about it. And it almost feels enjoyable. Yeah.
Well, it is nice when the potential new sentence is the only unknown, right? I mean, when it's not like, I don't know the shop, I don't know anything about the layout, I don't know where do I go in and where do I pay. And
what do the coins look like, right? The different denominations of coins. Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I remember early on, sometime within the first few months, reading, like doing workbooks and reading kids' books and being just so discouraged by how much it didn't make any sense to me. And then going back and looking at those same resources later and feeling sometimes like they were easy. Not always. Some of the kids' books actually, like there's a difference between books that you read to kids and books that kids read. And sometimes the books that you read to kids are actually fairly complicated in their vocabulary. But going back and looking at old sources or watching shows that we've watched before, coming to it again, be like, oh, I kind of get this now in a way I didn't before. And I know there are more levels of that. So I think those things where you're doing the same thing again, but it feels familiar. Or even, you know, with our new colleagues that we were onboarding, we wrote up a couple of lesson plans for them, four lesson plans for them, and worked through some survival German. And that was actually a lot of fun because we had to stop and think through, okay, what was really necessary for us to know early, and what did we feel like we didn't know, what would have been helpful to have known earlier, and then to try to make that accessible and understandable to them. And so that was also a good exercise for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me also, I finished a Magic Treehouse book, which is a kid's book we listened to and stuff and read in the States. And so I read one and I was like, oh, I get it. I understand. I completed this tiny novel because I love to read, but reading in German is exhausting and you'd get like three pages in and want to go to sleep. So yeah, that felt like a win. That was maybe a couple months ago, and not recognizing I didn't understand everything. But because it's a familiar storyline, it's a familiar way of interacting with words, you can kind of get the gist of something without it being, without me being completely lost.
That same process of looking back is really important in other cultural transition moments as well, to realize, wow, look at how far I've come in this area. I think it's harder with language because no matter how much you learn, it seems like the road ahead is still so long. But those moments when you do look back and you realize, I have really come a long way.
I think one of the things that is challenging with that is that I feel like my language capacity is really spotty. So I have these weird areas of strength and these weird areas of weakness. And so I think that there's always this wondering, like, what don't I know that I should? And occasionally you'll come across an area where it's like, oh my goodness, how do I not know how to say this super basic thing? And then other times you realize, okay, actually what I want to say isn't basic. It's a complex thought. And that's why I don't know how to say it. But I think that those random moments where it's like, oh, I thought I should be able to function in the language in this way. And I evidently can't, at least not today.
I think that's because the way we've normally learned a language, just growing up, is not learning a language as much as just absorbing a language. And even then there are situations where when I was in college and working with computers a lot and would hang out with my computer programming buddies, we just developed a language that was still using English, but and I'm not saying that we wrote our own language, but just the language of computers that we would talk about was foreign to other people, yeah. Or the language of sports. Alyssa wouldn't be able to speak the language of sports. She doesn't know what an RBI is, or, you know, they're just different languages, but you absorb them naturally through interests and friendships. And we're learning this language now very differently. So we get stuck in a class and we're talking about our homeland or our hobbies or our favorite whatever or globalization. But then you see a dog on the street, you don't know how to say it's cute because it's just, that didn't come up in class.
Like I could say, oh, it's cute. I could say that about the dog, but that's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, you know, something more specific. And I think that that even just that frustration of like, okay, I can substitute other ways of communicating the basic idea. And that's, I do a lot of that. But it's frustrating to not be able to say the thing that you actually want to say.
Something that was really helpful for me too, in the States, I also did work with second language learners. And I think, so I got very used to saying things more simply and trying to use different words to describe a situation. So I think, and I've done language learning before, but I think doing it at a different stage of life and being thrown into like just you don't know people and they're just talking to you as if you know things. And so things come at you in such a way that you're not prepared for. So I feel like I've had a much bigger respect for people who are just trying to do life. It's like thinking about all the people are like, yeah, you're living life, you're trying your best, and you're just trying to provide for your family. And it's like, I've felt that on a whole different level during this process. And it's like, that's just a lot of work. Like, kudos to so many people who step into a new country, a new culture with a new language and are just trying to provide for their family in basic ways. And I think that's part of the frustrating thing is like, it's so basic. Like, why is it hard? It just is.
Yeah, learning languages is hard because you've got all of these concepts that have certain words that we've attached to them on how we express ourselves. And now the concepts are the same, but the words are different. And sometimes when you're learning a language, you also realize that the word is so foreign because I feel like sometimes they got to that word from a different concept point of view.
Yep. Yeah, which really matters. And this is where language learning alone isn't enough because there's this idea where sometimes people will become really linguistically fluent, but they don't understand the cultural context or the cultural value system and end up being the phrase is fluent fools, right? So on the one hand, language is really important for understanding culture. And on the other hand, language is insufficient for understanding culture because there's all of these things of, yeah, why would you say things that way or why would you not say them this way? And there's history that's tied in with that and cultural values and all these other pieces where it's just so, just this very, very complex interwoven web of meaning.
I don't know, maybe, let's take a break for this week and we'll come back and kind of finish up this interview and talk about round two for schooling, what you've been doing now since you've been done with just this, the two of you and an instructor. And then talk a little bit more about some of the intricacies of language learning.
Yeah, sounds good.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thank you so much for listening and joining us today. We'll finish this interview with Stephen and Jenny in a couple of weeks when we come back with part two of this series. If you'd like to interact with us, you can do so by sending us an email at podcast@envisionberlin.com. or by joining our Discord server and taking part of the conversations that take place there. Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of Envision Berlin e.V. and is produced, recorded, and edited at Sprig, Envision Berlin's creative space. Podcast music is by Mike Picanato.